We're going speaking about more properties of angry values. Today, in connection with the so-called diagonalizability, diagonalizability of metrices. And this is a very important topic for us, canonical forms. What are canonical forms? Canonical forms are special structure. In general, we can say they are simply a more compact way to represent a matrix by means of a change of basis. We will see how it is possible to change basis, that is to choose a transformation which reduces the original matrix to a simpler, more compact form, such as diagonal form, triangular form, and some other very special forms. We principally will consider diagonal and triangular, upper triangular canonical forms. Some more basic things about eigenvalues. I recall you the multiplicities. There are two kinds of multiplicities, as you probably know. The algebraic multiplicity, which we will call sigma of lambda sub I, multiplicity algebrica, and geometric multiplicity, which we call tau of lambda sub I. Shortly, their definitions. The algebraic multiplicity is simply the exponent to which the monomial lambda minus lambda sub I is powered, where in the expansion of the characteristic polynomial. As any polynomial, we can write the characteristic polynomial of a matrix as the product of factors like this, lambda minus the generic eigenvalue. This is the exponent. There is also, I write again in the center of the blackboard, there is a sign factor which is not very important, but I write also it. P is the number of distinct eigenvalues. Algebraic multiplicity, where the geometric multiplicity is the dimension of the null space of the matrix A minus lambda sub I Bayer identity matrix. We know that since this matrix is singular, its null space is different from the trivial space. This space has dimension greater or equal to 1. So this number, this integer number, we call the geometric multiplicity of lambda. There is a well-known relation between the two multiplicities, that is, for any lambda sub I, we have that 1 is less or equal, less than or equal to tau, that is less or equal to sigma. For important classes of matrices, this inequality will be an exact equality. We will see it later. Now we need an important result that is presented as a theorem which has a name, like important theorems, the so-called Cayley-Hamilton theorem. Which says that the polynomial, the characteristic polynomial P computed in A makes the zero matrix. In other words, A annihilates the its characteristic polynomial. You will find a mechanical proof in the PDF file, but I prefer to give you another more didactic proof later in the second part of the lecture of today. So we take into account this result, and we will exploit it soon, now. Because it must be clear that the existence of a polynomial which is annihilated by A is important, and it would be better that the degree of this polynomial would be less as possible. The degree of P, we know, is n. The question is, is there some other polynomial which is annihilated by A with a degree less than n? The answer is yes, for many matrices. A simple instance of this fact is the identity matrix of order n. Its polynomial, its characteristic polynomial, is lambda minus 1 to n. But if we consider another polynomial, this, for example, lambda minus 1, which has degree 1, and this also computed in A gives the zero matrix. Q computed in A gives, where A is E, gives the identity minus the identity. So, if this is clear, we define another polynomial, which is called the minimal polynomial of A. The definition is the following. The minimal polynomial of a matrix is the monic polynomial of minimum degree, which is annihilated by A. We call it psi, the minimal polynomial of a matrix A, psi lambda. The definition is the monic means that the coefficient of the principal term of the polynomial is 1. If the polynomial has degree k, this means, monic means that lambda to the k has coefficient 1. The monic polynomial of minimum, as you like to say, such that C computed in A is the zero matrix. Is it hard or no to determine this polynomial? This polynomial must have some properties that help us to know it better. In particular, C divides P in the sense of division between polynomials. Why? If we divide P by C, we can write that P is equal to C multiplied by some quotient polynomial. We call it S. Plus, a reminder, the remainder must have degree less than the degree of C. The degree deg of R is less than the degree of C. We write this in this way. But we know that both P and C are annihilated by A. So if we substitute A for lambda, we find P computed in A, C computed in A, by S computed in A, plus F computed in A. Well, this is zero matrix. This is the zero matrix. both these polynomials, give value the zero matrix, as a consequence, our computing A must yield also the zero matrix. We want to conclude that R must be the zero polynomial. Why? If R lambda is different from the zero, I mean the identically zero polynomial. If R is different from zero, we would have a polynomial such that R in A is the zero matrix, and its degree is less than the degree of the minimal polynomial. And this is impossible. Why? Because the minimal polynomial is the polynomial with minimal degree. So the only possible situation is that R is identical, is equal to the polynomial identically zero. That is, we can write this as an equal with three bars. And this means that the remainder is zero. And this means that C is the divisor of P. So if we think P factorized as 4, we wrote P in this way. Must have the form, the coefficient, the leading coefficient is 1, so we don't worry about sign factors or similars, and therefore I write the same factors with possibly different exponents. Is it clear? Since this polynomial must divide this other polynomial, it must have the same factors with exponents less or equal to the exponents that appear here. It can be possible in principle also that for some I, and some I is zero. But this cannot occur indeed, because we see that if lambda sub I is a generic eigen value of A, then we check this, C in lambda sub I must annihilate. So every lambda sub I must appear in this factorization. So no one of these exponents can be zero. That is, all the eigenvalues are present, appear in this factorization. Why this happens? Because CA is the zero matrix. So the eigenvalues of the zero matrix, which are on zero, must be equal to the eigenvalues of this matrix. This is a polynomial in the matrix, so its eigenvalues are of the form C computed in the eigenvalues of A. So for any lambda, C lambda makes zero. The only thing that at this point is not clear is the effective value of each n sub I. This point, I mean, we understand that the minimal polynomial must have this form. But we don't know the effective values of the exponent. We can give an answer to this question by means of the canonical forms. So, we introduce the most important canonical forms in linear algebra. As usual, let us recall some background. When we speak of transformation, reduction sometimes, we mean a similarity transformation. So we will arrive to canonical forms through similarity transformations. Trasformazioni per similarity. We start from matrix A. Matrix B, which is its similarity transform, is given by S inverse by A by S, where S is simply an invertible matrix. This is a similarity transformation. You know that one can give a geometric meaning to transformation because multiply A on the left by the inverse of S, on the right by S, it's the same thing to change basis. So, substantially, the two matrices, B and A, represent the same linear application with regard to different basis. So it's not strange that there is a strong connection between the two matrices. We are concerned with eigenvalues. It is easy to prove, you know this, that A and B have the same eigenvalues. This is the important aspect. The eigenvectors, instead, the eigenvectors change. The eigenvectors are transformed through multiplication by s. But the eigenvalues are the same. So if it is possible to find a matrix S that is a similarity transformation for which B is, which are the structures, the matrices for which the computation of eigenvalues is immediate. Diagonals. Triangles. So the main result, the corresponding main canonical form, these are the kinds of canonical form most important. In particular, we need to say something about the Jordan canonical form and the Schur canonical form. The first, we will describe well this form now. The first is both triangular and block diagonal. Where the second canonical form is only triangle. So the Jordan canonical form has more zeros than the Schur canonical form, which is the substantial difference between two canonical forms. That which, in general, the Jordan form by similarity transformation without any other prescription, where the Schur canonical form is reached by means similarity unitary transformation by similarity unitary transformation. The second case, due to the presence of unitary matrix, as the matrix of the transformation, has a point of advantage respect the first case. In detail, we began with Jordan. This theorem holds any matrix A can be reduced or transformed. We have used the term transformed. Can be transformed in the sense of similarity transformations into a matrix J structurally defined in the following way. J structure in this way.
block diagonal, as we have said, we can denote this with the symbol diagonal followed by the ordered list of the diagonal blocks that we call J, the index is up, is a subscript. Where P is, as before, the number of distinct eigenvalues. P, number of distinct eigenvalues. J sub I. This made in this way is again a diagonal block, a diagonal matrix with smaller blocks, which we call to the letter C and two indices. Index a superscript from 1 to up to the geometric multiplicity of lambda e tau lambda sub I. And finally, the matrices which we have denoted with C sub I super J we describe them in terms of entries or elements sub I sub I. These matrices are square matrices. These are on the diagonal, there is repeated the value of lambda sub I. C is upper diagonal in terms of elements, and there are entries equal to 1 on the super diagonal adjacent to the main diagonal. We have only two diagonals in this matrix, which are non-zero. The main diagonal, all values equal to the corresponding eigenvalue, and the adjacent diagonal in the upper triangular part with all entries equal to 1. The size of this matrix. Size is matrix we call with letter, the big letter N, with same indices in which way this size is connected with the context. The only thing we can say is that the sum of these sizes, the sum over the index J, must give the other multiplicity, sigma lambda sub I. It can look complicated, but it's not so complicated. We make an example. We can find some other examples in the PDF file.
assume we have matrix A 7 by 7. With only two distinct eigenvalues, assume the values 7 by 7. P is two, only two distinct eigenvalues. Lambdas are 1, lambdas are 2. I give them arbitrary values. Their multiplicities. Suppose that the sum of geometric multiplicities must give 7. We can say that tau is 4. Now, suppose 2 and 2, not the sum of the geometric multiplicity, the sum of the algebraic multiplicity must be 7. So we must think to the various values of sigma distributed in such a way that their sum makes 7. Four and three. The effective values of the taus and sigmas must be computed in hard way. It's not a simple task by means of specific methods and algorithms applied to matrix A. I mean that we are exposing many and important theoretical properties which regard notions and quantities that are very difficult to compute. In the second part of the years of the year, we'll take into consideration algorithms for the computation of eigenvalues and also of these quantities. We know all the definitions and the most important properties of these things. Well, if the situation is this, the Jordan canonical form is not completely characterized. Why? Because we know that the matrix J has two blocks J sub I, because the eigenvalues are two. The first J is made of some C matrix of this kind. How many? Two matrices C, because the multiplicity of lambda sub 1 is geometric multiplicity is 2. So J1 is made of two blocks of this kind, for which we know only that the sum of their sizes must give 4. So it is possible to have situation with 3 and 1. This means lambda sub 1, 1, 1, 1. That's where there are zeros. 0, 0, and this is. But it is possible that this matrix has two blocks C of size 2. only one of these structures is the true, effective Jordan canonical form of A. With the theoretical properties we are speaking about, we cannot decide, we cannot establish, also knowing these values, if we are in this case or in this case. It would be the result of complicated computation, okay, we can say. Analogously, the other J, J sub 2, must contain two blocks of this kind. The total size must be 3, because the algebraic multiplicity of the secondary values 3. And inside there must be 2 blocks. So in this case we can have only a situation that is the following. The eigenvalue of yourself is 2. That is this. The order in which we display the various blocks is not relevant. It is the Jordan canonical form is determined but the order of its diagonal blocks. We see that structure, as we have said before, is both block diagonal but also triangular, because the various matrices C are all upper triangular. The other canonical form I display now, the sure canonical form, is triangular. The theorem that introduces this canonical form says that any matrix A like there can be transformed into upper triangular form T U, in which way is called T. TS triangular, sure canonical form by means of a unitary similarity, obviously, naturally similarity transformation. I will show you the proof of this result, but we can say immediately the consequence of this theorem. It has a name, you can find it called Schur's theorem. In scientific softwares, always available functions that give the Jordan canonical form, the Schur canonical form. An immediate consequence regards the Hermitian matrices. If we apply this to a Hermitian matrix for Hermitian matrices, we have, starting from A is equal to AH, DH, that there exists a unitary transformation, which we call U, such that UH by A by U gives a triangular matrix. Mind that on the triangular of T, there are all the eigenvalues of A. So both J and both T show us explicitly which are the eigenvalues of the matrix we are considering. But if we apply the assumption that A is Hermitian, we consider the conjugate transpose of both sides of the equality, and we have for the first side, the left side, again U to the H, A to the H, U to the H twice, so we find U, and on the right side T to the H. But A is equal to R, so we have that the first, the left side is again T. If we replace H with A, A to A to A, into the Hermitian T, we find that T triangular must be equal to T to the H. This means that T is diagonal. So, this is a well-known result that we see as a consequence of Schur's theorem. The Hermitian matrices are diagonalizable. Hermitian matrices are diagonal. This is important because not all the matrices you know are diagonalizable. There is another important result that I have given you before. Also, this is known. Which are the matrices which can be diagonalized? They are matrices which are these with a similarity transform. Diagonalizable if and only if A as n linearly independent eigenvectors. In general, it is not easy to recognize if a given matrix A has or has not n linearly independent eigenvectors. So there are classes of matrices for which it's true. One of the first that we meet is class of Hermitian matrices. They are all diagonalizable. We stop here for 10 minutes, okay?